Hello, Potters, and welcome to episode 96 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We are your zany co-hosts here on a Sunday afternoon. I feel like I'm doing a radio show all of a sudden.
No, it's a podcast.
We can do that.
Sort of.
You can always listen to us audio style if you choose not to watch the video, which of course we do the video so you guys can see all of our tutorials, interviews, and awesome stuff. But let us go ahead and start out, as usual, with our cosplay updates. I will let you go first because you have been a busy, busy bee.
I have been really, really busy. I think I'm going to start off with this lovely, lovely thing that arrived in my mail yesterday. My Cosplay in America book arrived, and I know these people. I'm going to try to get them to sign my book at Dragon Con this year. But yes, my Cosplay in America book, the special edition, has finally arrived. Ijin, I have to call you out real quick because this is the limited edition and the number is supposed to be on the back of the book. I don't know if you can see this, probably not very well, but it says 194 and it's kind of scratched out and it looks like a 9. Every part of my OCD senses wants to like clear this up and get the right number on it. So Ijin, tell me what number book I have, please. I would really love to know. But yeah, this was really exciting just to see come in my mail yesterday. I was not expecting this until like super, super late. But it's gloriousness in all the pictures and the greatness. And it was really cool to just flip through this and just see not only how it was put together, but the fact that he took the time to really talk to cosplayers, learn a little bit about how they make their costumes. He even got a section in here about competitions, which I was like, that's pretty darn nifty. So totally worth it when you get a chance to see him because he'll be touring around. His next big convention is A-Fest, where he'll have copies of these, not this one in particular, but the regular edition. Pick it up. Seriously, this is an awesome, awesome book. So yay! And then tell me what number I am. Seriously, I'd like to know.
We'll actually be interviewing Ijin, hopefully, in upcoming episodes. Very, very
hopefully
soon.
So.
We're working it out.
We're working it. Schedules are meh. He's been so busy trying to get these packed and shipped, so understandably so. All right, so now on to all of my cosplay stuffs. As you guys heard in the last episode, I'm prepping frantically for Dragon Con. Right now, I think the first one I will show you guys is I'm working on my Sailor Kasumi outfit, which is kind of in pieces at the moment, as you can see by all the lovely threads. Icky. But it's steadily coming together now that I have a nice, secure pattern for my Sailor Scout outfit. It's coming along much, much faster than I had initially anticipated because look how pretty it is. Ah, snaps and all. So Mercury was a huge success last weekend, and I used all of her patterns to make my Sailor Scout Mass Effect mashup, and it's been working out fantastically. Just little hiccups with my sewing machine. What else is new? Everyone has hiccups with their sewing machine. And even better, more floofy skirtness. Oh gosh, my camera just went wonky. Let's get that. We're going to refocus. Hi. It did not like the black skirt at all. But look at the floofiness. So much floofy. Floofies everywhere. The other headache that I have been working on, and I have it is a headache at this point. I don't know what else to call it. It's Tentacruel. This is my Pokemon Gaijinka outfit from the Cowslip design. And this year seems to be the year where most of my costumes want to fight me every step of the way. And this seems to be one of those. And which is silly because it's a kimono. I've made dozens of these in my sleep. It should not be so difficult. Last weekend, I did some painting to my original kimono, and it ended up looking ridiculously tacky. So I had to buy brand new fabric and start all over again. As a result, as I pull this out over here, part of my crunch time moment, I made this entire thing yesterday. And we keep moving, and we keep moving. So much. I did all of this yesterday in about 5 hours. I am exhausted. But it's done. Thank goodness. At least the kimono part of it is. The big thing was what I'm doing differently is with Cowslip's designs, she has that really cool floral pattern that kind of looks like it's rotoscoped in certain areas. Really nifty. I was like, you know what? Since this is a water Pokemon and I'm using this to debut it at the aquarium in Georgia, it felt appropriate if I changed the design to bubbles. So that's exactly what I did. I has bubbles all over the place. And I actually ended up kind of tailoring this and making this a little bit simpler. So it's just in key areas. So it's not like bubble bonanza all over the kimono. Plus it would take me forever and a day. And I don't have all that time. And then on top of that, I have more bows because apparently I can't get enough of bows lately. I'm sick and tired of making bows. Oh my goodness. And there's other little things that I keep running into, such as her parasol. I finally got my replacement one. I initially accidentally ordered a paper one. My bad. I should have gotten a fabric one. And I did. This does not look navy blue. I'm pretty sure that this is not navy blue, and it wasn't supposed to have any type of painting on top of it. No time for me to send it back and get the proper color. I just have to deal with this and repaint the entire darn thing. And then my dyeing experiment that I had just kind of it half worked, but didn't work as well as I had anticipated. There's a gradient dye on the front of her costume that goes from the nice oceany blue to black. So this is what happened with the black dye. Not quite black, and I dunked it in 3 times. Yeah, so that didn't work, and we're just gonna have to kind of roll with it. And I have a bunch of black fabric left over, so guess what? The front tails are gonna be black. I don't care anymore. This is basically the costume of compromises because it just keeps fighting me, and I'm like, you know what? I just get it done and have it look nice. I don't care if it's accurate anymore. It's my costume. I changed it up enough as is. So Val's tired. She's ready for Dragon Con because she just wants it to be done with. I'm ready to go because I want to have fun. But yeah, those are my cosplay updates. The only other thing, which I guess I could probably make it an after session, is I finally got word that I'm back in the Dragon Con cosplay contest. I don't know why or how this happened. I guess by complaining. Well, maybe not complaining. My thoughtfully concise argument on why I should be allowed to enter was accepted. Yeah, I'll rant about that one later. But there you go. I have a giant pile of fabric to my left that I'm going to sob quietly into after all this is done.
So, would you say it has been a cruel, cruel summer?
Between you and Caitlin, who is in our group for the Pokemon thing, she did the same thing to me. You suck.
Silver platter, ma'am. Silver platter.
I know. I'm happy with it. I really like it. I'm glad that I changed it up so it's a lot more simplified, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, this was not the original plan. What the crap happens? I do have my weird things that I'm putting on said parasol. Look how cool these are. These actually came out really nicely. I ended up having to dye the flowers so I can get the right shade of red that I wanted. Let's just hope the parasol turns out nice because I'm sick of it already. Your turn.
Well, I'm actually wearing one of mine. I have an Epic Gamer t-shirt. I actually ended up winning a drawing from Jade Cosplay
Oh, cool.
because she had gone to QuakeCon. And for those who are new to the show, I am a very big tabletop gamer. And I would love to go to something like QuakeCon and play games and whatnot. But unfortunately, work tends to get in the way. So this is kind of my consolation prize. So thank you, Jade Cosplay. For sending me this, so it is very neat. I feel like an epic gamer now.
Yay.
But my cosplay update is actually this, and I don't say this facetiously. This is cuttings of muslin because unfortunately I haven't had as much time in the past couple of weeks to work on cosplay as I am cleaning up my house for marketing purposes. But I have been cutting out muslins of my Renaissance pouches so that I can figure out how to bolster them. Because if anybody has ever really used pouches hardcore, you have to make them very sturdy. And you have to realize you're going to try and stuff them fuller than you think you will.
Yep.
Because they're pouches, they're made to hold things. They are pouches of holding, if you will. And I made it once with just fabric, and it was absolutely terrible. It needs some sort of structure inside of it, and so that's what I'm trying to engineer is the stuffing and the cardboard padding inside of it so that it will hold shape and not collapse on me. Because I will hopefully be going to Texas Renaissance Festival here in a couple of months. And unfortunately, Renaissance garments do not generally have pockets, so you have to carry pouches around with you to carry all of your stuff. So I'm trying to make a couple of pouches real quick, just kind of as I have time. I'm unfortunately not going to be doing as much heavy sewing with cosplay just because I have to keep my house clean for a little bit while people come around and look at it to see if they want to buy it. After that, there will be a cosplay bonanza where I sit there and do nothing but cosplay and work. And maybe sleep. Maybe.
Sleep's important.
Yes, sleep is very important. But that is pretty much the long and short of my cosplay update. It's a little bit short this week. Work kind of got in the way.
Say, not to worry, I think we got myself covered for both of us and then some.
Because you have Dragon Con.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it to still be so busy for me, but like when things stop working,
Which, don't
yeah.
get me wrong, I really would like to go to Anime Fest, but I'll be in the office, unfortunately.
I don't think you'll be missing much anyway.
I don't necessarily just go for the con experience. I go to see my friends who, given where I live, I don't get to see very often anymore. And I go to see friends that I don't get to see unless they are at conventions. Those who live out of town and out of area. And I really do enjoy talking shop with people, to be honest. I enjoy talking construction of cosplay and cosplay as an art. It's we'll get into this later with the article that has been going around, but cosplay isn't just looking at attractive people in costumes. I do talking with them as people. So there is that. So I have missed like going to conventions. Akon was the last time I was able to do that, and it wasn't even for all of Akon. So I've kind of missed talking to people and getting to catch up with them, and even having cosplay meets. It's been so busy lately that we haven't really had any metro area cosplay meets lately. It's like,
We're
oh
all
my
kind of in
God, I've got to catch
scramble
back up with
mode.
that.
That's a nice way of putting it.
That's more or less the way it goes.
Was just a very apt description.
Yes.
I don't know where to go with that one.
It will go off the cliff, which is just
That's
fine.
okay. I'm okay with that.
All right, so I believe we have a cosplay review.
Yeah, we do. So, as some of you who have been following my page and have been commenting on this, I ended up using Angelus leather paint, which is an acrylic-based, water-based paint that's meant for painting leathers, synthetic leathers, and pleathers, and all that type of stuff. And I actually got a chance to test run them with my Mercury boots. So now that it's done, and now I know the full experience, I wanted to impart my knowledge and wisdom unto you all to not only learn how to use the paint, but how well they work. So, enjoy this review.
Today we are going to do a product review on Angelus leather paint, made specifically to paint on leather and synthetic leathers. And as you can see, it has been already used and abused by myself. I opted to use this paint for a recent costume of mine because I didn't want to make boot covers. The big thing was that trying to find stretch fabric in this particular color was becoming very cumbersome and it wasn't matching the rest of my costume. So I felt that paint would be a better alternative and kind of make these boots my permanent Sailor Mercury boots. In doing so, I did a lot of research, trying to figure out, okay, what kind of paint do I want to use? I know normal fabric paint's probably not going to work for this because these boots are going to be flexing and moving quite often. And as anybody knows who's tried to paint their own shoes, eventually it's going to chip and crack, and don't want that mess to happen. So I did some product reviews and I came across this particular brand. I heard a lot of great things about it and felt like, you know what, let me give it a shot. Let's see what happens. So as you can see, it does come in a couple of different sizes. This particular stuff I got through Dharma Trading Company. Angelus does have their own website, so you can buy directly from them. Your call. But I thought with Dharma, since I've used them before, wasn't a big deal. And their pricing was actually pretty cheap on this. I spent less than $12 on getting all three of these paints. And they also have a finisher that you can get. Shoot. That will seal in the paint and make it a little bit more water resistant because this is acrylic paste paint that's water. So if you're not careful, you could potentially wash the paint off. That's why you need to get the proper sealer for it. And with their finishers, they have it in four different types. They have matte, they have satin, they have a shine finish, they have a smooth finish. So you have a lot of options. And if you want your leather, your pleather boots or shoes to maintain that leathery feel, or that leathery look, I should say, go with the satin finish because you still get that nice shine to it. So that you guys can see the example of said boots. Ta-da! Not too bad, right? And this was with 5 layers of white and then 4 layers of the blue. These boots initially started out as being a dark brown, and I had to cut them and alter them and tailor them a little bit. Let's say, as you can see, shroop, so that way you get the nice point. You can see some of my stitch lines there. And overall, I have to say, I'm fairly impressed at how well these boots held up. I spent a good afternoon walking around in these, posing, jumping, moving. I had to do a lot of stair climbing. And doing that really put those boots through the test and put the paint through the test. I only had one tiny little issue, which I will show you guys, give you all a thorough review. So you can see it right there where I got a scuff mark. Now, this is not the fault of the paint. This was the fault of me being very clumsy and not properly putting my feet forward. Therefore, I got scuff marks. Now, scuff marks are going to happen on any shoe, any boot, anything you put on your feet. So it's not the fault of the paint. It's just human nature. It's going to happen. But with this, all I really need to do is just, I don't even need to really buff it out because I don't even feel it against my finger. I probably just need to repaint over it and then I'm good to go. But what I also want to do is show you guys how to use the paint, because their rules for this are pretty particular. They don't recommend using a brush on this because it's very easy for the brush strokes to stay noticeable, even if you do multiple layers of the paint. They recommend using a sponge or using a cloth. And once you use those items, you won't be able to use them again, especially after you use the finisher, because I tried it with a cotton cloth, which was great. It made my boots look really, really nice. Even after washing said cloth, I could never use it again. So be prepared to dispose of your cloth should you decide to use these products. And just like with any type of painting that you may do, darker colors going up to lighter colors, you really only need to use one or two layers. The layers are going to be fewer because dark absorbs light. Vice versa, if you put a light color onto a darker color, it's going to take more and more layers in order for you to actually build up and see the final results. And really, this is just like any other normal paint. Now, I will say that this stuff smells a little bit. Highly recommend that you ventilate or wear some form of a mask, because it is not the greatest smell in the universe. But really, it's just as simple as getting a little dab onto your sponge or onto your cloth. And then what I found worked best was to stipple it on. Start your first layer stippling, so that way it blends a little bit better. I'm probably shaking the camera like crazy doing this, but that's okay. And really, it's just that simple. And it soaks through pretty darn well too. And this is not leather. This is muslin, just because this is what I had on hand. But even when I found on the leather, it absorbs the paint really, really nicely. So I didn't have to do as many coats as I had initially anticipated. Now, you'll see the problem that I'm going to run into when I move this over to the darker fabric. All right, so this was just one coat, and you can see how quickly it absorbed it. This is the problem that I ran into when I was doing this on those brown boots, which is why it took me 4 to 5 layers in order for me to get a nice clean coat of paint. And it was the same situation with the white. So if you do want to use this on shoes, I would strongly encourage you to either buy them in white I know that's asking a lot because white shoes are not easy to get sometimes. So if you can't get them in white, try to get for the lightest color you can possibly find. That usually means you have to pay a little bit extra, but it does make your paint come out a lot nicer. Another thing that I found out through friends of mine who tried this product was that if you put on too many layers of the paint, it actually causes the paint to no longer adhere to the shoe and can break down and crack over time. So you really don't want to exceed more than 5 or 6 layers because at that point, it's just not going to stick any longer. Angelus does make a special adhesive that you can mix with your paint. It's one part adhesive, three parts of the paint, and then you can paint it onto your shoe, and that's supposed to help with the layering issue. So if you have black or dark brown boots and you need to cover them with a brighter color, such as this white or even the blue in certain cases, that adhesion will really, really help in the long run. But yeah, overall, I am ridiculously pleased with this product. I will certainly use them again. I don't typically like to paint my shoes because I put a lot of wear and tear through them. I also like to use my shoes for multiple costumes. So if they're stuck as one color, can't really reuse them for other outfits. I just have to keep buying new shoes. So I'm a big fan of any type of shoes or boot covers, particularly with stretchy fabric. But as the case with Sailor Mercury, really difficult to find that blue in a stretchy fabric without dyeing it, and I did not want to go through the hassle of dyeing it. Another tip that just came to mind, when it comes to this particular paint, it's usually good to it dries within about 10 to 15 minutes after you do your first coat. It is strongly encouraged that you wait at least 2 to 4 hours between each coat before you do another layer, and that's simply just because of the properties of the acrylic paint. It may be good to touch, but when as soon as you put any type of water on top of it, it'll start distorting and altering the paint, and you'll get this weird mess going on. I found that out after my first layer and realized very quickly that I needed to wait. So you want to be completely, or well, I wouldn't say completely dry, but pretty close to dry before you start putting on more layers. For it to completely cure, it takes a full 24 hours. If you're in a humid environment, it can usually take 48 to 72 hours. So keep that in mind. Before you put on your sealer, you need to have your paint completely dry. So you need to do that full 24 to 72 hours, and then you do this. If the paint still feels a little bit tacky, then it's not dry. You need for it to be completely dry before you completely seal it. Don't use any random sealer brand. Go for this particular one or any type that is made for leather, because this will still allow you to move and stretch and work with your shoes and not have it crack. If you use just any standard finisher or acrylic brand, you're just going to end up with cracked paint, and nobody wants that. So yeah, overall, really great product. I completely recommend them. This one bit of blue paint, I don't even think I used a third of the bottle, and that was for two nearly knee-high boots. So this will last me a while. I would say if you want to go the Sailor Scout method, probably want to get the smaller bottle, because now I have to figure out what to do with the rest of this blue. But yeah, overall, really, really great. Totally recommend them, and it's definitely a cosplayer's best friend. If you need to paint your shoes to match your costume, go with this sucker. It's great for leather, great for pleather.
And we're back.
Yay.
And there was much rejoicing.
Villagers
Yay!
rejoice.
Which is
Yay!
actually appropriate because it is one of the anniversaries of Monty Python.
This is very true. I'm okay with that now.
Yes, and they will be having a live showing of the Holy Grail, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, in New York next month so that everybody can sing along and it will be awesome.
Those are always the best. Like, I don't go get a chance to go out to like the Alamo Draft House very often, but when I do, it's like the sing-alongs, the quote-alongs, those are just so much fun. I realize that they're movies that are 20, 30, 40 years old, but the experience of being with a bunch of random people and knowing every scene, every dialogue, every motion of the characters, it's just fun and euphoric, and it makes you feel like a little kid again as you sing Monty Python songs.
Yes, which are not kid friendly.
No. But I grew up with it.
Parents, do not listen to every sperm is sacred within hearing range of your kids, unless you wish to explain it to them.
My parents were perfectly okay with explaining that to me.
Anyways.
I know, we're adults.
We have a cost philosophy segment for you guys today. We felt it was appropriate, as this has reared its head again, to discuss GoFundMe and Patreon funding of cosplay. Yeah, specifically, this is not, you know, say your house was destroyed by contractors, they destroyed all of your cosplay, and now you need to recoup to rebuild it. Not that kind of GoFundMe. We're talking about the Patreon, Indiegogo, Kickstarter, those sorts of campaigns for people who want to make a cosplay but don't have the money for it.
Or they're using it as a means of supplementing their own income to have somebody else pay for making those costumes because, hey, you're a fan, you're a supporter. Why don't you support me by helping pay for me to make this costume?
And I will say that both of us have our own opinions. These are
yes.
our opinions individually. These are not necessarily meant to be offensive. They do not represent Cosplot as a whole. Insert legal liability phrasing here. You guys get it. You guys have watched this for long enough.
Exactly. But, you know, I think this is one of those things where I keep seeing it and we really haven't had a chance to like sit down and talk about it. And I know that our opinions are going to be fairly strong about this. But that's
that
okay.
That is a mild statement, yes.
I think it's something that we need to talk about, though.
I am so against this.
I know I am too.
So hardcore against this. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I feel the exact same way. And I just, it's like in the advanced version of people going on to like forums or like Facebook groups and saying like, hey, I ran out of money and I really want to go to this con. Can you help me? Can I crash in your place for free? Or could someone give me $5 for food? Like, this is like the grown up version of it.
I will say that I understand the other side of the argument, even though I don't necessarily agree with it. I understand that this is the free market. I understand people are free to do with their money within legal bounds, whatever they choose to do with it. And
sure.
if they choose to give it to other people to make costumes, more power to them. That is perfectly fine. And I understand that. And I understand that people are free to ask for money.
Absolutely.
Again, this is the free market. I get it. That's what Indiegogo and Kickstarter and all these things are for. However, here is where I make my argument.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it is twofold. The first is that in my eyes, cosplay is a hobby. It is not a profession. It is a hobby. There are those who make it their profession, but generally they are not on Kickstarter, Indiegogo, Patreon, whatever. That said, because it is a hobby, it is my strong inclination that you have to make it yourself. You have to earn the money. You have to seek the training. You have to practice the craft. Hobby is something that you make for yourself, that you earn that hobby, and that you enjoy it more because of that, because you have invested so much in it. Photographers generally don't do Kickstarters to fund their camera equipment. I don't see conventions doing Kickstarters like that to fund their conventions. They have to raise the money themselves. Just like people who want to raise money at schools, they hold bake sales. People who want to raise money for their homes, they hold garage sales. If you want to raise money for a hobby or for something that is extracurricular, that's fine. Offer your services, you know, offer to make commissions for people, offer to mend clothing, offer to work on their car. People have skills. People are all good at something. Barter with that. Offer, you know, to babysit their kids for a couple of weekends a month so that, you know, you get, basically you're giving something in return for what you get. Something that is in the form of goods or services. I don't consider being able to look at a picture of you in cosplay in return for me handing you money to make that cosplay. I don't consider that an even trade. This is not, you know, equivalent trade, as they would say in Full Metal Alchemist. It does
Nice.
Not work that way. So if you want to earn money to make a costume, offer something in return that is not just, well, you'll get to see me in this awesome costume and I'll get to go to a con. That doesn't sit well with me, to be honest, because I would like value for my money. And I'm not devaluing cosplay. I think cosplay, obviously, I've been doing this podcast for 4 years. I think that it is a valuable thing, but I don't think that that is equivalent. And the other argument that I would make with this is that if you're trying to make cosplay into your profession, or if you are trying to supplement your income as a profession, man, I wish I could do that with my real job. I can't kickstart income for my job. I can't do that, and a lot of companies actually have rules against it. And I don't think that that is fair to those who are having to work multiple jobs to make ends meet and then scrimp and save to be able to make that cosplay, to go to that convention. There are so many people who prioritize and are unable to even go to conventions. They can't make cosplays. They can't do all of these things because adult life gets in the way. And because they have to prioritize paying the rent, paying for food, paying for car, paying for insurance, paying for gas money, what have you, paying for health insurance. Those things are more important. So, and I apologize if this sounds harsh, and it's going to sound harsh, but I firmly believe this. If you cannot get your basic adult priorities in order, if you cannot pay your legitimate bills, not things on the side, but core bills, if you cannot pay them, I do not think you should even be considering making cosplay on the side, going to conventions on the side. You need to get those core things in order first. Then you can start looking at hobbies. If cosplay is your profession and you still can't pay for it, you need to start looking really hard at why that is your profession. Because the whole point of having a job is not necessarily to be happy. Many of us aren't happy at our jobs. And I don't say that as me personally, I say that as general rule. You get a job to pay your bills. Careers can make you happy. Jobs pay the bills. So think really long and hard about your priorities. For those of you that are sitting there having to go on these FundMe sites and effectively panhandle for money, because that's what it is. And I'm sorry if that is harsh, but for those of us in life that have worked too hard and too long to get where we are, to be able to afford these things on the side, and we budget and we scrimp and save and we sacrifice other things like going out to eat. I sacrifice driving home to see my family because right now my utility bills are rather high because it's Texas in the summer. I can't go out and buy cosplay materials right now because it's not in the budget. But that has been a decision that I make and I sacrifice so that later I can have a costume. And that's just how I feel about the matter, is we sometimes just have to man up or woman up. Or whatever up. We have to
Something up.
adult up.
There we go.
We have to adult up and just take responsibility for the money that comes in and goes out in our lives. So that's, I am stepping off the soapbox and I am handing it to Val.
Hang on, this is where I should have had like the sound things up because I totally didn't.
Yes, I
Okay.
know. There you go.
There we go. I almost hit the randomize button. That would have been really weird and awkward.
And I get the useless rod, wand of many things.
We'll stick a pirate hat on top of you because it's Google Effects.
Yarr.
But in essence, a lot of the things that you said are pretty much how I feel about it. It's in a digital form of panhandling, essentially. I mean, instead of being on the side of the road holding up a sign asking for money, you're doing it online through Patreon or GoFundMe. I know they won't let you do that in Kickstarter. Kickstarter actually has a bunch of rules against that. So at least there's a couple of places where you can't do it. But and you look at things like Cosplay Boom as probably an example. And some people will say, well, you're willing to support that, but you're not willing to support a cosplayer. And it's like, well, I think it's a little bit different in the way that they present themselves because they already have all the equipment, they already have all the materials, they have. What they're lacking in is just time. And a lot of the reason for that is because they have to work 9 to 5 jobs as well. And in order for them to go out to all these conventions, they need to supplement their income some other way. They would love to continue to make these videos for us. So any type of donations they can get, help them make those videos, help them get one step closer to making another full series. And that's part of the reason why they were having issues with getting season two started, was just not enough funding. It's hard for them to do it.
I would also argue that Cosplay Boom, they don't make it for themselves.
No, it's all for us.
They make it as a service to the community. People who are making cosplay, it's you wearing it and having pictures taken of you is not a service to the community. You're still making that cosplay for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would argue that things like Cosplay Boom, that's different because they're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the audience.
It's definitely artistic, but in a different manner. It's meant to be something enjoyed by everyone. They're not doing it just for themselves. Absolutely. The other thing that gets to me is that a lot of these websites, they allow you to have rewards if you donate a certain amount of money, which is fine, whatever. The ones that I've seen for cosplayers always confuse me because it's like you donate $1 and you get one extra photo of me in the costume. I'm like, really? That's where my money is going, so we can see one extra photo of you? Or like they'll put out a special video for them just to say thank you. And it's like, I'm with you on that one, Amber. It just doesn't seem like my money is being put forth in a way that I get a good service out of it. There's no fair trade of the goods and services. It's just kind of there. And again, it's effectively, it's digital panhandling almost. It's like, help me pay for a costume that I could make that I'm going to enjoy, but none of you may care about it. It's just like, okay. And?
I mean, like we said, if you choose to give your money in these Kickstarters and these Patreons and these Indiegogos and these GoFundMes, you are free to do it. Yep. More power to you. That is your right.
It's your money. You do what you want with it.
And if you want to solicit for these funds, again, that is your right. We just both feel strongly that there should be alternatives and other considerations before going there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are GoFundMe type campaigns for what I would consider worthier causes, like for those who suddenly find out that they've been diagnosed with stage 2 cancer and can't afford the chemo. I find that legit because our health insurance system obviously has some cost issues. No sane person can afford that unless you're, you know, Trump. That I consider legit.
Mm.
Cosplay in the face of that is kind of like,
yeah, it's like, what?
Not so much.
A good example of this is at RTX, there was an unfortunate accident where some teens were coming in from out of town. They're all in their age of like 17 to 19, I think. And unfortunately, they were hit by a wrong way driver down on 30 here in the DFW area. And three of them lost their lives. The other one was on life support. And it was one of those things where they had a GoFundMe campaign up just saying, you know, anything that you can do to help with the, just with the cost of all of this. And it was depressing to see how few people were donating to that. But then you do one click over to somebody who is just like, help me get to a convention. And they were already completely fully funded. And I was just like, that breaks my heart. You have people out there with serious issues who are being overlooked for somebody who wants to go to a convention for a free ride because they just don't want to be an adult and figure things out for themselves. I know that sounds really mean and harsh. I know it does. But adulting, seriously, comes first. Adulting.
Well, I think that covers the long and short of that.
Strong opinions. It's really, I mean, you know. And it's one of those things that we don't really talk about very often.
And if you, the Potters, you know, if you guys have strong opinions, please feel free to share them with us.
Yeah.
We certainly welcome constructive criticism. We're not going to shoot you down for having an opinion. We're not going to sit there and necessarily, you know, come down on you about it. We may debate you about it.
Absolutely.
You guys are always welcome to express yourselves about the show. We do prefer constructive criticism as opposed to just criticism. So just saying.
But healthy debates about this stuff is good. That's how we excel not only as people, but we excel in the community.
Right.
Ha. There's your nugget of wisdom for today. I'm tapped out now.
Unicorns and rainbows. Unicorns and rainbows.
Woo! Flying butt stallions.
All right. And so now to pile on. Are we going to do this now or in the after session?
Well, that's up to you, because we're running 30 minutes now, and with my review, that's probably another 15, so we can stick it on here. We can do after session. Your call.
Well, let's go ahead and do it here. We can do the ranties in the after session. All right, so if you would like to introduce the article.
Since I have such great knowledge and experience about this. So just the other day, literally within the last 24 hours, the infamous Jessica Nagiri posted an article about her experience. She is currently out of the country as a cosplay guest, and she was doing some judging for a cosplay contest. And unfortunately, when she was wearing some of her skimpier costumes, there were a lot of men, well, it was probably mostly men. I don't think it was women. I'm sure it was mostly men, were telling her that to show more skin and to be much more skimpier and to show off more of her body. So the next day she went out, and when she was judging, she was just in jeans and t-shirt, nothing special or fancy. And a lot of the same men continued to catcall all the female cosplayers that were coming out in very skimpy outfits. And she had a revelation at this, going like, why are these people doing this? There are some awesome costumes up here, but nobody was giving two craps about them. They would only cheer at the skimpy women. And they ended up giving an award to this great group of guys who did League of Legends crossovers, which was really great. But no one applauded because they weren't skimpy costumes and chicks with big boobs, basically. I mean, let's be real about that. So she was, I don't want to say offended, but she was surprised by all of this. And she felt like that she needs to do better for herself, better for her fans, and actually live up to the expectations of a cosplayer that she has on herself. And in turn, a lot of us agree with her. And then there's some of us who are kind of turning the tide and maybe think that she's being a little hypocritical, given her body of work. No pun intended, I swear. Yay, look at me! I grew up!
I'm rubbing off on you.
It just took some time.
I knew it would happen.
Right? So yeah, that's
so at any rate,
brewing controversy, controversy.
And this has been reposted on several major cosplayers' blogs. And obviously the comments have run the gamut between trolling and constructive commentary. And to be honest, to speak about this in general just a little bit, whether we like it or not, cosplay is a visual art. You are looking at other people. You are looking at other people in a costume, mm-hmm. bringing your favorite characters to life visually. No matter how much craftsmanship, no matter how much the process is, I understand that. I get it. I've been a cosplayer for longer than some of the people who listen to the show have been alive. I get it. But in the end result is visual. And my simple answer to all of this is, what do people like to look at? What is on the cover of our magazines? What is in the main cover images of the articles we read online? What are the video game characters that we play comprised of? Athletically fit bodies that have enlarged certain bits. Depending on your gender, and what people like to look at.
That was very PC. I like that.
Well, you know, back in the day, having large breasts and a large bottom were considered signs of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Men who had enlarged bits were seen as being particularly fertile. And so those things, this is why, you know, women feel like they have to have enlargements. They have to have enlargements everywhere because that's what men like to look at. And then, of course, you know, large packages, they think women like to look at that. So, of course, people like looking at naked bodies. That's this has not changed in human evolution for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
this is science, kids. I mean, there are studies on this. I'm not saying this to be, you know, particularly controversial or erotic. You'll learn about it when you get older. So that said, of course people enjoy looking at cosplayers that have skimpy clothing.
Duh.
Hello. I mean, I get it. That's not what cosplay is about. I understand that and I agree with you. I am on your side. However, look at who sells photos in cosplay. Look at what they are wearing. Look at who wins costume contests as audience favorites. Look at who is invited to judge at conventions and be cosplay guests. There is a reason those people are winning, are being invited, are in photos, are on the cover of magazines. There is a reason for this, and I think people are too polite to say it. But it's because they have model bodies that are showing it. And I'm sure those people work hard for their bodies. I know for a fact that many of them hit the gym. They have good diets. They work hard to maintain their shape. And that they work hard on their costumes. That doesn't stop the fact that they are skimpy costumes that people like to look at. And they kind of made this point in a post, I think it was on the RPF, where they showed professional wrestlers in costumes. They were supposed to be cosplay, superhero cosplay, but it was body paint, and you could tell that it was body paint. And it was the point that people like to look at beautiful bodies regardless of what's on them, costume or not. So basically, cosplay as a visual art is people wanting to look at models, their idealized form of their characters come to life with good bodies. This is why there is so much fat shaming. There is a lot of body shaming, especially among women that have cellulite that shows. This is why whenever you see people who are of a different race, gender, whatever, from the character that they're portraying, that they get flamed and shamed. Because people have this idealized image of a character that they want to see in real life. And if you are not exactly that, then you are automatically full of fail somehow. So if you don't have that model body showing it off, just like this is partially why they make the manga like they do, guys, because they know people like to look at it. If you don't look just like the manga, all of a sudden you're just not legit. It's like, okay. And this is partially why the community is so full of drama. Cosplay is full of drama, whether we like it or not. And we can change that. But to change that, first we have to acknowledge what the problem is. And the problem is that the public is perceiving cosplay as solely a visual art. We need to, in my opinion, obviously this is all my opinion, we need to bring it back around to the crafting art that it started out as, when people actually had to engineer these costumes without having all these awesome materials. Before we had, you know, these hyper-sexualized video game characters. I remember back in 8-bit days, there was no way you could see anything on those characters. People still enjoyed it. People enjoy Super Mario just as much today as they did back in the 80s. That doesn't mean you have to have a hyper-sexualized female Super Mario to get views, to get looks. No, come on, guys. This is supposed to be an art of passion, of enjoyment, of showing your love for these shows, these characters, and if you don't look just like that character does in someone else's mind, screw them. Do it anyway. I mean, we're not all models. Hello, 99% of women have cellulite. Not all men are ripped. And that's okay, and I think we need to get over that. Photoshop, the days of photoshopping models should be long dead, and they're not. We need to get over ourselves. Not everybody's going to look like that, and we need to be okay with that. I certainly am. God knows I look at it every day in the mirror. Preach!
Preach! Preach it, sister!
I have preached for the day. Welcome to Cospod Church on Sunday mornings.
I don't have a bell, or I have a gong, but I don't have a bell sound that would be appropriate for a church setting, so
Sorry.
I'll post it. I'll stick it in post. And see what's so
I'm
funny.
done.
For now, she's done. It's interesting is the way that I read the article. The thing that got to me was the fact that people were more focused on the female cosplayers and wanting to see less and less clothing. That was the part that ticked me off the most. And this is not just me being a feminism. This is me being a human being. That nobody should be degraded to that level where it's just like what you're wearing, and it's like, no, that you need to wear less. And it's like, seriously, dude, this is 2015. Even if you're in a different country and you've been raised a different way, and I understand that there are cultural differences, I get it. So please don't preach that to me. I understand. But women's are human being too. Women's. I know I said an S at the end. That's fine. We're human beings, and we shouldn't be sexualized in such a way anymore. We're at the point now where it's just stupid and ridiculous. And that was the whole point that I was making in a reposting I did of her article, which apparently got me flamed within a couple of minutes, and I had to take it down because everyone called me a feminazi. How dare I for having an opinion about being a woman and wanting to be treated like a human being? Oh no.
If dudes want, naked women, there are places you can go for that.
Plenty.
There are things called bedrooms. You can have your Playboy magazines. You can go to the Playboy Mansion. You can go watch, mud wrestling with naked women while taking jello shots. Go right ahead. We're not saying that you can't do this. We're just saying don't do it on the cosplay stage.
There are times and there are places, and if there are women who want to do that and take off their clothes and be exposed and they want to get paid for it, that's their call. I have nothing against that. That's what you want to do. Cool beans, fine. That's not my thing personally. The women who are up there in costume showing off their work and their craftsmanship because they love the character, they love the franchise, whatever it may be, they're not there for your amusement. They're not there to be sexy and to strip for you. They are there because they want to show off how much they love this piece of art that they've made. And yeah, they want to be seen. I'm not saying they don't want to be seen. You're in costume. You want to be seen. Duh. You have pink hair. You want to be seen. But we're not there to amuse you. We're there to say, hey, I'm a fan too. Let's go chill out and talk about Borderlands. There you go. I mean, it should be as simple as that. And it's not. And it sucks.
It kind of pushes guys out too, because all of a sudden it's perceived as a female-only hobby where all they want to look at is beautiful women in skimpy costumes. It's like, but the guys in that article, the League of Legends gender bends who won Best in Show, the audience was silent. That should never happen to anybody at a cosplay contest. There should never be silence in place of applause. Give them credit, if nothing else, for the hours of effort they put into their costumes, because cosplay isn't easy. Just because some people make it look easy doesn't mean it is. And they deserve applause for that. And having silence, dead silence like that, it's discouraging men from cosplaying. And men deserve every equal right to cosplay, to walk that stage, and to be applauded for their efforts, and not to be judged on their body shape, just like women.
Exactly.
I mean, this isn't all about naked women. I mean, this is about guys too, and there are guys that get flamed.
Oh yeah, and that's
We have friends
it
that do.
sucks. Yeah. I mean, I have friends who've told me before that they won't cosplay a certain male characters anymore because they get accosted by women, and I'm just like, that's not cool. It shouldn't be happening on both sides. It should just not be happening at all. What the fudge?
And ultimately, to be honest, guys, cosplay is viewed like this for a reason. And it's because the majority of people are perpetuating the stereotype. If we want it to change as a community, as a cosplay community, we're going to have to work to change the public perception of what cosplay is. And we need to decide as a community how we want to be perceived and what's going to be popular in cosplay and how we're going to be judged in competition. So we need to do some hard soul searching, perhaps, both as a community and as a public. and figure out what needs to be done so that cosplay is fun. It's play. It's not drama. It's not flaming each other because we don't have perfect bodies. It's not criticizing people because their costume isn't absolutely perfect and accurate. It's lost a lot of its luster. And I know that, you know, I was talking with somebody about this on the blog. Some people are completely enjoying themselves in cosplay. I'm speaking about this in general, that the community doesn't seem to be having as much fun as it used to be, as when people would just get together and talk shop and enjoy, you know, finding fans of their series. I think we need to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we need to drop the drama. We need to drop the crap.
Hands up, she's done. That's what I'm kind of hoping for with my time at Dragon Con, because I know that was one thing for me last year, and what really pulled me to want to go back again was just having fun with a bunch of other nerds, 60,000 other nerds and geeks and dorks and dweebs who are just like me. And all we want to do is just hang out and talk about our favorite things. And I know that cosplay is a good gateway into getting in and talking about our favorite series and whatnot. And that's really what I'm hoping for, that for as much as I'm stressing out about these costumes and I just want them done before I throw them out the window and never see them ever again, being able to walk down through downtown Atlanta and just to talk to other people who are into the same series, I think that'll just make it all worth it. Because I don't care about awards. I don't care about accolades. I don't care if anybody takes a photo of me. I really don't give two craps anymore. So that's just made it even more fun. When you stop giving a crap, it makes it a lot more fun. Pro tip. I just want to hang out with cool people. And I know cosplay is my way of doing that. That's really all that should freaking matter. She's making a thumbs up. I have one more thing I have to add about the article, and I apologize for this because Amber brought this to my mind as well.
Go right ahead.
I think one of my things with Jessica's, I guess, revelation, it's kind of a revelation that she had, is that I think a lot of her work, she does a disservice to herself and her craftsmanship, because she has really clean lines, especially as of late. Her stitch work for a lot of her fabric pieces has gotten much, much better over the years. And she does really fantastic armor. And a fantastic example of this would be, more recently, she was asked to cosplay as a character from Battleborn, one of the new Gearbox games. I had no clue that she was this character. And it wasn't because her face was covered, which it was. So initially you're like, who is that person? What is she doing? This was the first time that I'd seen her in a costume where she actually truly loved the character and was acting like this character. She was posing like this person. She was reacting like this person. It was like, wow. She has taken a huge leap forward for herself and for cosplay. She needs to do more stuff like this. And I think now that she realizes what she's been wearing, what she's been doing, she's doing a disservice for herself and for the cosplay community in general, where it should be a focus and an emphasis on the crafting, not on who's wearing it and how much skin is showing. There you go.
I don't have anything to add.
You can do better, Jessica. You're an awesome cosplayer. And I don't want to come off like I'm bashing her, or like feminism Nazis being mean to Jessica Nigiri because she's showing her boobs. I don't care. If that's how she wants to cosplay, that's her thing. Cool. Do what you want to do because that makes you happy. But I would love to see you do more costumes like the Battleborn one, because you are an awesome, awesome seamstress and you need to show it off more. So there you go.
Yeah, people can show off what they want to show off. I think the point we're making, and that she was making, is cosplay is not all about TNA.
Exactly.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Oh. All right. Well, we hope for those who are preparing for PAX Prime that you guys are having a wonderful rush of a time getting ready. We hope those who are preparing for Dragon Con are enjoying whatever shows you're marathoning in order to get ready. We hope that those preparing for Anime Fest are able to get everything done in time. And of course, we hope that everybody else who is enjoying their summer is, of course, enjoying it with cosplay.
There we go. Being in the mad, frantic dash like the rest of us.
Remember that International Cosplay Day is at the end of this month. Please feel free to organize meetings in your own individual cities, states, and countries so that you can meet up with your fellow cosplay nerds, talk shop, Woo-hoo. Enjoy your favorite characters, and of course, enjoy cosplay. Of course, Val will be going to Dragon Con here shortly. I will be preparing for Texas Renaissance Festival. And other than that, we're just going to keep plugging on. So we will see you guys next episode. Amber out.
Remember to check out our Facebook, our website, our Twitter feed, all that good business, because we got to make sure we plug ourselves too. Bye, guys.